It's gonna be good.
People, it's me, Jenny D from Spill With Me, Jenny D podcast. I have another episode and I am so excited for my guest who we found each other through a mutual friend. And Dr. Kelly Shab is coming from she's so fabulous, is coming from Idaho, which is 2 hours behind us. And for you to even come on and take the time to address my listeners about menopause. So, Dr. Kelly, please talk about who you are and what you do, and let's get into this topic.
Wonderful. Well, thanks so much for having me. I am super excited to be part of the East Coast fans. So, my name is Dr. Kelly Shab. I am a doctor of pharmacy, and I have been working with women for over 20 years as a compounding pharmacist, meaning I made the hormones, I created the formulas, I advised the providers, I worked with the patients to manage their hormone health for 20 years. And that was an education in itself. Right. Other than that, what?
Why did you start that? Like, how did you even start knowing to do that?
It was one of those situations where I was following my husband around while he was changing jobs. So we moved back to Idaho from California. I'm originally from Nevada, and I worked in I got a job at a compounding pharmacy in a cute little small town here in Idaho called Twin Falls. And I went to this pharmacy for a job because I knew some of the people who owned it, and they had just lost their compounding pharmacist. And I went there for another reason, but this was the opportunity that was available. And when I heard that, I know that compounding pharmacists work a lot with menopausal women, perimenopausal women, and men as well, plus a lot of other health issues. So my first thought was, heck no, I'm 35 years old. Was I 35?
I'm 29.
At the time, I have to think back. I was in my early 30s. And I was like, heck no, I don't want to work with hormonal women for the rest of my career. Are you kidding me? Like, that sounded awful. That was my perception of menopause and what menopause is, right? Like, a lot of us have a wrong impression of what it is. We just know what we've mostly seen in the media, and that has been put into a lot of TV shows as a joke. And
a joke?
I don't know. I mean, some of the topics should be humorous and funny, because if we can't laugh at ourselves, what can we laugh at? But at the same time, it's also very serious and very real, and people suffer and struggle and change. And then we've also seen relatives, most likely, maybe our mom and our grandma, our aunts and school teachers who have been going through it. And we just, for so many years, have maybe made fun of it and not taken it very serious. So now here we are, these women in this time of life, ourselves afraid of having that image ourselves, but it doesn't have to be like that.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. It sounds like, oh, menopause, you're old. Like, okay, yeah. You're past of having children or
past your prime.
Yeah, you missed your prime, and like, you're an old person now. And like, you know, it's funny because because I've been in menopause for like 5 years, I feel like. And that's why I really wanted to have this topic on. And I knew you were the expert person that really needs to focus and help our listeners and help me through this. Because I feel that, like you said, we talked off air about this, but a lot of women struggle because the recipe to help is not one recipe, like, oh, just take this pill Or just do this. Oh, you got to suffer through the hot flashes and, you know, your mood swings and the weight gain. And it's just like, no, there's got to be like a light at the end of this tunnel. It's just so hard for us. And, you know, and it's hard to explain to, you know, your loved ones or your husband or your children, like, hey, just ignore me. I'm going through menopause. So let me ask you this, Dr. Kelly. Do you mind me calling you Dr. Kelly?
No, actually, I'd love to go by that. Dr. Kelly, pharmacists are doctors too. We all have, most of us have doctorates. And other than that, I'm also in a naturopath program. So very soon I'll be a doctor of naturopathic medicine. And I appreciate that because we are very educated people. We have a huge impact in people's lives and healthcare. So yes, please call me doctor.
You do. So let me go back to like, why is it named men? Oh. Pause.
Why? Yeah, well, it has a historical context.
Oh, okay. And
yeah, just a lot of problems start with men, pun intended. But I know. I love men, though. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, the word menopause has a long history, and I do wish we could change the word. I try to use other words like hormone health as an option or hormone decline as an option, because a lot of women, particularly me, like I did not connect with the word menopause. Perimenopause even sounds a little softer in a way, even though it probably is one of the hardest parts of menopause itself is the perimenopause years, which could be 12 years long. We could spend 12 years in perimenopause, one day in menopause, because menopause itself is when you have not had your period for 12 months. And then after that is postmenopause. So we're talking, let's say you live to be 80. You're talking like 42 years of your life in this hormonal transition of chaos and decline and depletion. So,
oh no.
So three? You can also call that balance along with falling.
There's pre, and then there's menopause, and then there's postmenopause.
Yes, correct. Those are the main stages. Yes. But so many women don't know when perimenopause actually starts. And that is where getting that job in that small town actually really enlightened me, because I was working with all these women and learning along the way myself about hormone changes and hormone transition. And I thought, well, I'm testing all of them. Maybe I should test myself just to get a baseline, which I really encourage people. Find out where you are when you feel great, so that someday when you don't feel great, you can compare.
Great idea.
Yeah. It's part of the being proactive about your health situation. And people are always saying, know your numbers about your cholesterol and your blood sugars. Well, let's know your numbers about your hormones. And there's more hormones than just our sex hormones to pay attention to. So anyways, I tested myself, and lo and behold, I was having hormonal changes, and I had zero awareness of this, even though I was working in that world at the time. So what that did for me is it made me take action. So I was tired. I was grumpy, just fatigued all day long, had trouble sleeping. I had trouble with my brain, you know, making it feel...
Brain fog?
It was more like I just didn't feel as sharp when the words came out of my mouth as my brain was thinking. So I could see what was going on with me. And if I had not known that in my 30s, where would I be today? Because I knew what to do. I made some changes. I adjusted my life. I am a much healthier, stronger woman than I am now than I was then, because I knew I found out what was going on with my body. And I want that for women out there too. You don't have to just wait for the ball to drop and things to be awful to take action.
Okay. So, I'm sorry, Dr. Kelly. Are you saying that women like in their 20s, 30s, 40s, whenever they're having their children, that we should still get tested and just to see where we are?
Once your hormones have stabilized after delivery, like you don't want to do it right after, because it does take some time, especially if you're breastfeeding, for your ovaries to start doing their job again. But testing at some point in that area, it's a really good time to see what's going on with your body. Because that's what I was going to say. I was attributing the way I felt to the fact that I had two young babies at home. I was in a new town. I was in a new job. I didn't have a lot of family support at the time. And I just thought I was just stressed out. And that was the reason for me to feel awful. that was part of the reason, because my adrenals were super shot, but I just thought it was just how I had to be. But I learned, oh, I should be taking nutrients. I need to be taking time for myself. I need to slow the H down. I need to pay more attention to me, because that's a lot of women in their 30s with kids don't pay attention to themselves. A lot of women, period, do so much for others, and it takes away from what we're able to give ourselves and then give back to others when we're overwhelmed and stressed.
Wow. You know, it's almost like, you know, way back then, we're both 51. Shh. We're twins. But, you know, back then, though, you thought about, you were like not a machine, but I felt like a rope. You know, like I was raising my three kids, you know, putting everybody else first, I was up and down with my weight. And like you said, I was getting migraines, and I was like, but I thought, oh, that must be my period or my menstrual cycle that's going on. So I contributed, and maybe some other women do too, is that I'm saying, oh, it was because of my period. That's why I'm miserable. That's why I'm gaining weight. It was excuses.
Yes, it's excuses. And then what do we do about it? Nothing. We just say it out loud. We may express it in a way that we're not proud of, that we don't feel good, or someone else might say, oh, it's her period. And that's very irritating, especially more irritating if your hormones are off and you don't have the capacity to respond nicely anymore. So we make these excuses for how we're reacting or behaving or showing up for ourselves. And then my experience was, I didn't like who I was when I was that way. I'm like, why would my husband want to be with me when I'm acting like this? I don't want to be with me.
Well, right. I'm like, who are you?
Yeah. Right. So knowing what's going on with yourself, knowing that you can make some changes and adjustments and tweaks along the way gives you so much power to live a life you can be proud of and participate in. And that's what I want women to know. And
I like that. Participate in your own life.
Yeah, because I was not there in my 30s. It's a blur. It's such a blur. And, you know, my kids were amazing, but I was trying to be June Cleaver and do it all, and then also be Mary Tyler Moore and work it all. I was trying to do all.
It's so hard to balance everything. My husband traveled, so I was home alone a lot with the kids. And so sometimes I was feeling like a single mom, but I knew my job is I got to do this. I got to run them here. I got to do homework with them, cook dinner, clean, do the laundry. And you just run yourself ragged. And
you really do.
Stress that you put on yourself.
Yeah. And your body pays for it. And then your body tries to tell you in certain ways, things are not right. Things should not be normal. It should not be normal that you're exhausted all the time. It should not be normal that your waistline is expanding, yet you're eating less. It should not be normal you can't sleep at night despite being so fatigued and exhausted. It should not be right that your skin doesn't glow and that you're too tired to hang out with your friends. Or that you're getting headaches all the time, or your libido is completely gone because your body's changing. So these are whispers. Your body's trying to get you that something's wrong, and it may be your lifestyle, but it may be biological now as well.
Right. And it's almost like I played the blame game. You know, I blamed everything else around me. I blame my husband. It's because I'm hot on, or, you know, I wanted to blame everybody because I was like, well, what, you know, but I didn't know about my health. I didn't really concentrate on my health back then because we were concentrating on taking our kids to the pediatrician and making sure they're healthy. And I didn't put myself first. It's funny how you turn 50 years old and you realize, wait a minute, I need to start taking care of myself. I need to like be healthier. Why did it take some women this long?
That's a really good point. And again, it comes down to awareness and education. We need to be aware of ourselves, but how can we be aware of ourselves if we don't have the education to know that we need to do that? The next thing that you just said that sparked in my mind is communication. Communication is so hard. And your family, especially your spouse, male or female spouse, needs to understand that you're dealing with something. And my favorite answer to that is this: talk about what's important and serious when it's not actually happening. So let's say there's trouble in the bedroom. Don't bring it up in the bedroom. Bring it up, you know, at 1 o'clock on a Saturday and say, honey, there's something going on with me. I need to tell you. because you're less emotional in that moment, and maybe less things are less personal at that moment. And you just need to say, hey, you know, sometimes I really want you. Sometimes I don't want anything at all. And you might need to try harder or just understand that it's not my brain not wanting you. Sometimes my body's having a hard time wanting you. And there's a lot of words in even in other situations, such as, you know, when I used to come home from work and I'd freak out because the house was a mess when people have been home all day and now I have to cook dinner. Don't have that conversation at that moment about how chaotic you feel on the inside. Politely say something. And then the next day or what, whenever, when everything's calmed down, say, listen, I need to tell you, I'm overwhelmed. I don't know what I need to do. My life is feels like it's out of control, but I'm overwhelmed. Can you help me? Or can we do make some changes that will help our household situation?
Work
just something like that. Yeah. So communication is a big deal.
It's funny because, you know, back in my day, I hate saying that. I felt like my role was, you know, he's out working full time. So my role is not only to be the mom and, you know, I got to do the dinner, the dishes, the laundry, like put everything away. I didn't want to bother him because I thought, well, that's his role and this is my role. And, you know, nowadays, like, I feel like my daughter's 23. It's a whole different ball game with them. And they understand, you know, women and men understand that you have to be partners too. You have to be able to say, hey, I was home. I unloaded the dishwasher. Hey, I took out the garbage. Like, it's not the man, you know, somebody else's job to do the garbage. If you are going downstairs, take it. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. And I will say I have the best spouse in the world because he probably does more than I do of the traditional mom things because his job allows him to have more time for that. So he actually does most of the grocery shopping and we might be equal on the house cleaning. And there's just things that he does that is so helpful to me. Yet when you're in a hormonal crisis, it's still hard when you have a supportive, loving, everything he needs to be spouse. So communication still is a challenge. The way I feel in the way that woman feels me, whoever feels in that situation can still be challenging when you have this fluctuating, unpredictable chaos going on inside your body, which is generally perimenopause.
Right. And I felt the resentment back then, but now, like you said, my husband's like, he makes dinner, he cleans up, he works from home most of the time. So he is able to like do a lot now. And it's so great because I see that, like, I'm like, hey, can you, and he's like, sure, I'll do it. And he'll be like, hey, hon, can you, I'm like, sure. You know what I mean? Like it's become, we started understanding each other and realizing that not one person should be doing everything or one person should do more than the other person. Mm-hmm. That's just not the way relationships should be. And oh, geez, mine, it says running out of time.
I've been talking too long.
No, we're good. It's saying like the upgrade, but I think we're good. Time. Oh, we have like 10 minutes, but we have so much to talk about that
we
think there, you know, you're just one of those people that I'm definitely going to have back on because you have so much information to share with my listeners. And, you know, I love that we're talking about menopause, premenopause. Talk to us about that combine. Like, what is it called? It's like a combine. Like a combination that you like give to somebody. Like, I don't understand what that is for your pharmacy when you put together like your things to help with.
Yeah. So I have a whole lot of things going on. And so what I'm getting at is as being a compounding pharmacist, when I would make the hormones and things, I learned a lot from spending so much time with these women. You know, it's interesting. People don't think about how much time a patient spends with
I was saying compound. What was I saying?
Compound.
I'm sorry.
The combine. I felt like you were making me gonna make me go do a Ironman run or something.
So sorry.
It's okay. But when women would come to the pharmacy, they came every month or more often. We had multiple conversations versus when you go to your doctor, you might go once or twice a year, maybe, and have those conversations. So pharmacists spend a lot of time with the patient. And luckily, being in independent pharmacy, I was able to do that. I wasn't dictated by a corporate saying you need to shovel out 200 scripts in 1 hour. I got to spend time with the patient. So they educated me more than I educated them. And that's what I'm bringing to everybody now. And that's where my business, Balanced and Well Living, came to be, because I feel like I was given such a gift to work with women and their husbands as well for so many years. I need to bring that information out and help spread the word that perimenopause and menopause is manageable. It may not always be pretty, but there's things you can do and there's things that you can adjust and work with to make yourself feel better. So one of the things that I have done is I've made a digital program. I have a lot of programs digitally, but one of my favorite programs is my 8-module course where it's about 4.5 hours of video that you can watch on your own time. And I talk about perimenopause and menopause 101, preparing for lifestyle changes, nutrition and menopause, because you need to really make some nutritional changes. You can't keep eating like an a-hole and drinking wine every night and expecting to feel great the next day. You know, we don't feel great anymore. So talk about nutrition, intermittent fasting, gut health, and detox. Detox is one of my biggest things. I wish I had known.
You need to try yours too.
Yeah, I'm currently doing it right now and I'm feeling really great. And every time I take the supplements and eat the way I'm supposed to, I feel this like giddiness inside that, oh my gosh, I'm helping my body. I'm helping my liver. I'm helping get crud out of me that I've been absorbing from my environment and maybe eating and drinking as well. So detox is important. Gut health is important. Stress is one of the biggest reasons that women need to get a grip on their life. And that, I'll have to say, is the number one problem between a woman being successful with menopause in whatever definition that might be for her, or a woman living in chaos and feeling dry, grumpy, ugly, and mad, and a recluse from everybody, is stress and the impact it has on your body and learning how to control that, work with it. Supplements are a huge part of that as well, a huge part of all of this as well. And so I give a lot of guidance on that stuff. And I also offer some free consultations, some paid consultations, detox programs, of course, because that's integral in cleaning out all the things called xenoestrogens that we experience throughout our environment. Xenoestrogens are chemicals and toxins that get into your body, and then they connect to your hormone receptors, and then your hormones that you are making can't get to the cell and do the process that that cell requires. So people are like, oh, I'm declining in hormones. Well, maybe you just have a whole bunch of toxins in you that you need to get out, and your hormones might be just fine. That could be why hormones measure okay, but you still don't feel okay. And that's like a classic thing I hear all the time. My doctor says I'm fine after doing all these tests. Yeah, depends on what they tested, how they tested it. And then they can't see those xenoestrogens within you in the classic medical testing world. So
yeah.
So getting those xenoestrogens out of you is really important. Getting rid of a lot of the things that contribute to
xeno.
It's a X-E-N-O and then the word estrogen. It's like a hormone disruptor.
I'm going to ask my doctor.
Yeah. Well, or you can just ask me.
Yeah, that's true. What have I said? I know that's like, you're right. Yeah. I almost said that, Dr. Kelly, when you said that we don't spend as much time because we don't want to have to pay the copay to go to the doctors. So, you know, we put that off. A lot of people put going to the doctors off, but we do see our pharmacists sometimes on a daily basis or like every other day or at least like 3 days a week. So all the things you're offering.
Yeah, we can get really intimate with patients over whatever they're dealing with. And I've advised a lot of women, different ages and men, some things that they can do to help and improve their life, their vaginal health, for instance, their mental health, their physical health, their mitochondrial health, their energy and their sleep. There's so much you can do holistically that as a pharmacist, I have been doing for years. And now we have this word called functional medicine. So in that evolution, I am a functional medicine practitioner because it's the world I've been living in for so many years, going to conferences, being part of the hormone world, being part of societies and programs. There's a lot of great things out there. And there's a lot of people who do understand this world, but there's a ton of practitioners who do not. And so if you feel like you're not getting listened to, your provider's missing something, they're doing the standard medical practice. And I'm not bad-mouthing providers and doctors because there's absolutely a place for them. But just like your foot doctor doesn't know about your eyes, you go to a different doctor for that.
Yeah.
So finding, you know, not all pharmacists know about hormones the way that I do. And so, and also in this great state of Idaho, we can prescribe. Pharmacists have prescriptive, full prescriptive authority if we are trained.
Hey, I didn't know that.
Yep. So that's an interesting avenue that we're experiencing as we speak.
So how many men, women have you helped?
I wish I was keeping track. I wish I have kept track. I'm just going to say, like, over the years, hundreds or maybe thousands. Yeah. Yeah.
You have changed their life, you know, and do they say, like, they feel so much better? They're like, they're really, like, they're present into their life and living their life in a better way.
Absolutely. You really hit it, because sometimes it's just talking about it helps so much before you've even taken any action. So having somebody listen who understands and has the time to listen and understand is so helpful and so cathartic. And then getting some points, getting some pointers. I like to recommend dietary changes, and definitely, you know, increasing your protein and certain vegetables are very helpful to your internal detox process, which helps your body hormonally in so many ways. It's helpful. Supplements can be incredibly helpful to fill the gaps that our diet is not able to meet. And then just letting you know that you don't feel normal, but we can work on that, and we can make you feel good, and you're capable of feeling great. And I fully believe
in the tunnel.
Totally. 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond. You deserve to feel great. We don't want to go downhill. We don't want to wither away into the dark corners of our life. I want to participate, and I want you to participate. And we got to feel empowered, and we can't feel empowered if we don't know what to do.
And the hardest thing is, we have about a minute left. The hardest thing is that I'll run into some women, they're like, I'm not in menopause and I'm like 53. And I'm like, okay, how do you know you're not in menopause? She's like, I still get my period regular. So that's what people are gauging in on. If they're getting their period, they're not in pre-menopause, they're not in menopause. So why is it?
They're perimenopausal still. You are not in menopause until you hit that one day of 12 months of no bleeding. It's a very basic definition, very basic. So perimenopause is super important. If you want to learn more about what I do, you can go to my site, which we will tag here in the notes. And I also want to point out that I have a pocket guide in process that hopefully will be published in April that I would love people to pre-sign up for.
Oh, that's so wonderful. Thank you so much, Dr. Kelly. I so enjoyed it. And you're going to be back on because we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah. Call me, sister.
Thank you so much for being on Spill With Me, Jenny D.
Thank you. Come spill with me.